There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Welcome to College Football Live, presented by Dr. Pepper.
It is one of, if not the greatest, games in college football.
What makes a great rivalry game, in your opinion?
So they defeated the river, should be in the water and cleanse my soul.
Everybody's a rival.
But this is going to be a very, very challenging game in every way, shape, and form.
Iowa.
That's what college football is. Every week it's playoff football.
Best part about being 6-0, we get a chance to go 7-0 next week.
Go Tigers.
Welcome to College Football Live. We all got a big smile on our face because week 7 is here. Jonathan Vilma, Emmanuel Acho, and I am Peter Burns. Can't wait to get into it. So let's show you the slate of games that we have here for week 7 in time for the Windies Weekend Watch. Two matchups between top 15 teams. Red River Showdown kicks off with the Cotton Bowl over at noon. Then the nightcap at ESPN. Florida travels to Death Valley, 8 p.m. Eastern, to face undefeated LSU. Emmanuel Acho, let's start with you right now. Bigger issue, Burrow's arm or Florida's defense? Which is going to be bigger in that game in Death Valley?
Well, you have to get excited, first and foremost. This is one of those games, PB, unstoppable force, immovable object. I think Joe Burrow's arm is the bigger issue. Just statistically, Burrow has thrown for 4 touchdown passes in 4 games this season. Florida's defense has only allowed 4 touchdown passes total in 6 games this season. But to me, Joe Burrow is hot. He's having one of those freaky type of seasons. The combination of him plus new offensive analyst Joe Brady, I think they'll just be too much to stop. Give me Joe Burrow, his arm, and that LSU offense.
No, Acho, no, wrong. You can't take Joe Burrow right now because Joe Burrow needs time to throw the football. Joe Burrow gets to sit back there against the Utah States of the world and then scan the defense. He goes, gets some water, and then he kind of looks at where he wants to throw the ball, and then he finally makes a completion. His stats are amazing. Yes, his offense is amazing. Yes, his throws are great, but he doesn't have time. Florida's not going to give it to him. Florida doesn't give him time. Joe Burrow is going to look like just a game manager at best.
JV, hold up. Right now, Burrow's 68% against pressure. 68%. He's completing 68% of his pass during pressure right now. And by the way, what offense has the Florida Gators actually played? Are the Miami Hurricanes that good? I mean, Acho, what offense have they played?
All right, Burnsy. We don't need to take shots at Miami. All right, so let's just start there let's not get personal over here, okay? So, now going back to Burrow, Burrow reminds me of Tua last year when Tua was putting up amazing numbers. But when you watch the film, you say, man, Tua gets 5 seconds, 6 seconds, 7 seconds to throw the football. If someone were to actually speed up the clock in his head by blitzing him, sending 5-man, 6-man pressures, all of a sudden, he'll start throwing that ball just like he did late in the season and in the championship game, throwing it too soon.
Here's where I can't agree with you totally, JV. Joe Burrow, like you said, they haven't played a ton of people, the Utah States of the world, etc. But they did go to Austin, and Texas did not do a lot great that game at all. But everybody knows that Texas defense and that defensive coordinator, Todd Orlando, is known for blitzing. They tried to throw exotics at him, etc. And Joe Burrow just found the weakness. He says, please blitz me, and I'm going to expose you. I'm not sure that Florida's best bet is going to be to try to void a zone by blitzing them. I'm just not sure that that's the approach they want to take.
I went and watched that game. That game, he dropped 8. That defense was rushing only 3, dropping 8. That's actually what had me saying, maybe Burrow hasn't been rushed as much as we think he's been rushed because of that Texas defense.
Remember, hey, last week, Todd Grantham only blitzed Auburn actually twice, guys. They were just beating one-on-ones. That's how they got the pressure against Bo Nix. All right, how about the other side of it, Acho? You got Kyle Trask, right? And what is he going to face going into Death Valley and this finally healthy Tigers defense?
Well, what we do know is that the Florida OC and how they manipulate defenses, that's their best bet. That's how they won last week. That's their only chance to win this week. Kyle Trask is tough, and Florida is going to go out there and play with a lot of energy and a lot of emotion. Do not try to test the LSU defensive backs, but see if you can find a weak link at linebacker in some of those sub packages. But Grant Delpit, Derek Stingley, I'm not trying those boys.
Remember, this is going to be the sixth time that these teams have met as top 10 teams. The home team has won four of the last five. Of course, that's going to be in Baton Rouge. Red River rivalry. I just made sure I said it real slow because it's really hard when you say it that fast, right? All right, Oklahoma and Texas. You look at this, a little difference on the defense. Are we actually saying Oklahoma's defense looks a little bit better? Vilma, you buying this right now with Alex Grinch and the no-look Sooners D?
I am buying it. I'm taking all that stock if we're comparing them versus Texas defense. And it's not a knock on Texas defense. It's that the style of play that Oklahoma plays is a lot more aggressive. It's a lot more fast flowing. You have guys like studs, like Kenneth Murray that are leading the charge in that defense. Right now, Texas, as I mentioned, they like to drop back eight in coverage. They like to rush three, drop eight. And Oklahoma went the other way. They said, look, we'll do that sometimes, but man, let's get after it and let's force the issue defensively. And so far it's been working out for them.
Hey, this is a game, in all honesty, where you gotta sell both defenses. I'm not buying the OU defense. I'm not buying the Texas defense. This is a game played with a ton of emotion. You saw what happened last year. Points, 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 both in the Big 12 championship game and in the regular season. Oklahoma's defense has not been tested at all whatsoever in the slightest. Even Houston, who has an explosive offense in the first game of the season against OU, looked pathetic. Texas's defense, when they got tested against LSU, looked pathetic. This is not a game where you want to buy defense. Look at Ellinger and look at Hurts, period.
All right, so let's go ahead and buy quarterbacks, right? I think we can all agree Ellinger and Jalen Hurts are both fantastic. Vilma, if you had to stop just one, right, which is harder to stop in this matchup? Is it going to be Jalen Hurts in this Lincoln Riley offense or Ellinger, who's had success going back to last year in this game?
No, you hit it on the head. It's Jalen Hurts. And as you said, because of the Lincoln Riley offense, this offense has produced not one, two back-to-back Heisman Trophy winners. You have another stud who looks like he might be in the race and the front runner to win the Heisman Trophy. So it's about the system. And of course, Jalen Hurts, he plays phenomenal. He protects the football. He runs the ball well. I understand all of that. But that offensive system, that offensive scheme that Lincoln Riley has and the offensive lineman that Jalen Hurts has in front of him is the reason he's harder to stop.
Jonathan's exactly right. You're right, JB. It's multifaceted, however. The Oklahoma offense is harder to stop. But Sam Ellinger, as a player, he's a player who has to be more, you have to be more concerned with. 941 yards, 11 total touchdowns, and only one turnover in his three games against Oklahoma. Those are Ellinger's stats. So Ellinger has to carry Texas. Texas doesn't have a Trey Sermon. Colin Johnson, Texas' stud receiver, has been hurt. They have a Devin Duvernay, but even CeeDee Lamb, I would say, is that dude at the receiver position on the field. So in my opinion, Ellinger has to be the entire team for Texas, whereas Jalen Hurts doesn't have that same pressure. That's why Ellinger, to me, he's the tougher guy to stop.
Going to be interesting, guys, to see if Cade Brewer, the tight end for the Longhorns, play. He has been fantastic for him for all season, and Herman likes to run that 11 personnel. Would be a good matchup between those two. All right, we got a lot more coming up on College Football Live, including heavy is the head that wears the crown. Find out what Dabo Swinney got all fired up about yesterday regarding his star quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. And we'll go channel surfing for an incredible Week 7 slate of games, including why Jimbo Fisher is going to try to be a horrible host to his former boss, Nick.
College Football Live is presented by Ice Cold Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville.
Stand up! Stand up!
Come on, college football.
It's hot!
Oh yeah, what a good call.
Come on.
Game day.
You're watching College Football Live, presented by Dr. Pepper.
It is time for our Dr. Pepper Championship Drive game of the week. Clemson, Florida State. Ready for that one? Well, ready to see what Trevor Lawrence can do after a bye week. As a true freshman, he threw 397 passes, only picked off four times. Already thrown five interceptions this year, but don't ask Dabo Swinney if Trevor's struggling.
There's nothing wrong with Trevor, and I don't like people trying to create drama. There's no drama on this team, so what do people do? They want to create drama. It's the most unbelievable thing. There's no drama. Ain't nothing wrong with Trevor. It drives me crazy. There's no drama on our team, and so we just want to create some drama. Oh, Trevor missed a throw. He must be hurt. No, he's human. He's human. All right? So here's what I'm confirming. Trevor Lawrence is a great football player and a great leader, and there ain't nothing wrong with him.
Ooh, Dabo a little fired up, boys. I wanted him to say, I had a MRI on Trevor. He's 100% awesome. That's what I wanted him to say right now, Vilma. I mean, listen, is Dabo overreacting a little bit about people asking about if Trevor Lawrence is 100%?
No, he's not overreacting because he wants to squash it right now. The only way to squash it is by reacting the way he did. If you kind of just answer the question and move on, then it lingers and people will continue to ask it as the weeks go on. The best thing I liked about it is that he's making the focus and putting the focus back on Trevor Lawrence's play. How is he playing right now? He said he's playing well. We all know differently when we watch the film. And so he doesn't want the rumors to start about injuries. It's all about Trevor Lawrence and his play.
To me, it was a little interesting. You only get defensive, I feel like, if something is indeed up. You only get that defensive. Again, Dabo does a phenomenal job of making sure the team culture is calm, cool, collected. He doesn't want outside noise creeping into the inside because he knows his team right now is not firing on all cylinders. The last thing Dabo needs is any unnecessary drama to try to rip them apart. I understand it.
Right now, Florida State's a 27-point dog, the biggest dog they've been, Vilma, in 40 seasons. That's amazing right now. Any kind of chaos we might see from the Seminoles against the Tigers, JV?
Well, one thing to note about the Seminoles is that they like to start fast. A lot of their games, they started fast, and the issue was that they couldn't hold the lead. So I'm not seeing anything that's going to worry Florida State about this game. Frankly, all the pressure is on Clemson right now. Clemson cannot afford to lose a game, have an upset, or continue these close wins, because then that can see them outside the college football playoff. Florida State is coming with the momentum. They're coming in easy. They're coming in ready to go, and then they're playing spoiler. So I see them starting off fast. Will they keep up? They'll try. Will they win? Highly doubt it, but it'll make it a game.
They are plus 58 in the first half, minus 41 in the second half. Let's go channel surfing, gentlemen. And normally we go channel surfing for Saturday, but we're going to start on Friday. Acho, right? Like, which game are you already locked into?
I love it. I'm locked into Oregon and Colorado, and everybody in the nation should be, because Oregon, if they lose, that's it for the Pac-12. It's done. Oregon has won four in a row after losing to Auburn, and their college football playoff hopes are already hanging on by a thread. Colorado, they're going to try to play spoiler. I'm not convinced that they can, but Oregon, you better lay it all on the line right here, right now on Friday.
Ooh, bold statement, Acho. You can't leave out Utah just yet, but I'm going to go over in the Big Ten. We got Penn State, and I'm not even mentioning Iowa. I'm talking about Penn State because Jonathan Sutherland, Peter Tone, these are the guys that, Shaka Tone, excuse me, these are the guys that we don't mention on Penn State's defense. We know about their offense putting up points. It's the defense that's going to be the reason that Penn State is a challenge and a problem in the Big Ten.
Keeping it in the Big Ten then, JV. How about Wisconsin and Michigan State? Michigan State got embarrassed against Ohio State. Gave up the most rushing yards they have since 2017, also against Ohio State. But boy, it's a bad man in Madison. Jonathan Taylor, freshman rushing record, sophomore rushing record, and he currently leads the league with 16 total touchdowns. So you're talking about great versus great. It's going to be interesting.
Oh, it is going to be interesting. What's also interesting is going out to Notre Dame and USC. We see the run game right here, Notre Dame bowling over Virginia. Are they going to do the same thing to USC's defense? Because I don't want to hear about the third team quarterback that might get knocked out in the game again for USC. I want to know, is USC's defense going to step up versus Ian Book and that vaunted Notre Dame offense? Because that's the reason that Notre Dame's either going to blow them out or win closely, because either way, USC has no chance.
Monster game, though, for Clay Helton if he can win this one. Monster for Jimbo Fisher, right? Aggie fans keep talking about Johnny Manziel, just like Uncle Rico used to talk about throwing footballs clear across those mountains, right? You look at Nick Saban, 17-0 versus his former assistants. Alabama has some success. I look at Texas A&M not having Jayshon Corbin. That could be a struggle, could be tied big and send the Aggies to 3-3. But right now, it is time for the man, the myth, the legend, Acho's A-List.
Ha! PB, you talking SEC ball. We talking SEC quarterbacks. Joe Burrow, he has to make the A-List because he has to put the team on his back this weekend against Florida. Everybody saw what he did against Texas and that defense way long ago in college football time. Now again, if he wants to be in that Heisman conversation, you got to step up. Big time players make big time plays in big time games. And for LSU, this is the biggest game. Now, you want to talk about a storyline? The Baylor Bears. How about them? Undefeated through 6 weeks of ball. Nobody's paying them any mind. But I think they make the Big 12 championship. If they handle business against Tech this weekend, they'll still be undefeated. And in conference, OU or Texas will have a loss. So if you're looking at me, the unheralded storyline is Baylor. And then the game, the A-List game. There's nothing like the Red River Rivalry. Red River Showdown. I don't care what you want to call it. Just talk about it. In Dallas, Texas State Fair. After you win, you're going to get a corny dog, a turkey leg, maybe even some fried Oreos. I just remember that game. There's nothing like the intensity. There's nothing like the ferociousness of it. That is an A-List game.
Hey, you had an A-List game in that one. 17 tackles back in 2010. Pretty good for you. You would have been good enough for JV's Jawbone Squad. He gave you Florida's defense last week, and he was spot on. Find out who made the cut next on College Football Live. A couple of these guys get cut, right? It's UFC fight. UFC Fight Night, Joanna Watterson, Swanson, Gracie, Saturday, 8 p.m. Prelim start at 5 p.m. Go to ESPNplus.com/UFC for more.
College Football Live is presented by Ice Cold Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville. This Heisman update is brought to you by Nissan, premier partner of the Heisman Trophy.
Let's take a look at the Heisman update brought to you by Nissan. Jalen Hurts will look to make it three in a row. Back to back to back, Tom Amansky style, right? Through five games, looking very comparable to Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray. Hurts will have his chance for a Heisman moment against the Texas Longhorns over on Saturday. All right, it's time for this week's JV's Jawbone Squad. But my man, let's take a look back at last week where you nailed it.
How about this? David Reese, Jonathan Greenard, Sean Davis, they're putting up better numbers than Auburn's defense. So you think that they're going to let a true freshman quarterback and Bo Nix beat them? No chance. They are going to wipe the slate with that. Oh, I love it. I love it. And if you're a betting man, take Wisconsin. Matter of fact, take the prop bet, Jonathan Taylor, $1.80. And why? Because of those guys right there, the Man-Eaters up front, led by left guard Jason Erdman and right tackle Logan Bruce. These guys are the reason that Jonathan Taylor is up for a Heisman talk. Yes, Jonathan Taylor does a phenomenal job, but when it comes to talking about Heisman and putting up those real numbers, you need an offensive line that he has, the ones that eat off of his name and love the fact that he gets all the attention because of the job that they do. Now they're facing Michigan State. Oh, Michigan State, great run defense. Da 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 da. Stop it. Save it. It's not happening. This is what Wisconsin wants. They want to show up and they want to show out against a Michigan State defense and show everybody who is the best offensive line in the country.
You go,
JV, I'm with you, my guy, because I think I think Jonathan Taylor is that dude. But if you're Michigan State, keep in mind, JB, you just got embarrassed last week. You're going to play a little more upset. I just don't know if it's going to be as easy as you making it out to seem, my guy.
They'll be upset. It's okay, but they're still going to get embarrassed again. Look, you're going to come out excited the first quarter, yada, yada, yada. And then what's going to happen? Wisconsin's going to steamroll over you. Jonathan Taylor's going to break it to the house. That's what's going to happen.
Hey, don't sleep on that Wisconsin defensive line as well, too, partially because I don't think Sparty has much of an offense. They're not one of the greatest. But what is the greatest? Our ESPN College 150 continues to move on, looking at the greatest walk-ons of all time.
Again, emptying out the backfield. Deflected, incomplete, and that was J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt, to me, is like a Paul Bunyan type of figure. How was this guy a walk-on in the first place?
Here's this Central Michigan tight end who's come into Wisconsin and generating some attention, and he's going to be a defensive lineman. And I mean, at that time, I had no idea what he was going to become. But when you look at what he's done in the 2010 season at college and then obviously going on to the NFL and being the MVP and having all these Pro Bowl appearances, J.J. Watt is the greatest walk-on that I've covered.
I didn't know J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt, my God. He walked on in college?
You can tune in to Greatest, presented by Xfinity, tonight, 7 p.m., part of the unbelievable 150 College Football ESPN extravaganza. My goodness, J.J. Watt, a walk-on. All right, so when it comes down to it, JV, best walk-on in the history of the game is?
Rudy, of course. They made a movie of him. I mean, J.J. Watt, yeah, sure, he's a pretty good player. He's all right. But if you get a movie made by, I don't know who made it, but if you get a movie of you, then you are the greatest period. I don't want to hear
JV, it. J.J. Yeah. Watt was never offside. Rudy was offside. Acho, we know that, right?
Look, how about this, though? I'm going to go with the guy who can't be offsides, Jim Leonard. And I'm going to say Jim Leonard because he was a white defensive back. You know how hard it is to be a white defensive back in the National Football League? And he played for 10 years, and he's the current defensive coordinator for Wisconsin, which is the best defense in college football. That counts for something.
I can't believe, Acho, you played the race card. I can't believe you played the race card.
Hey, you know what? How about Baker Mayfield, guys? I mean, the guy was a walk-on and wins the Heisman. Are we just going to just completely gloss over this? What are we doing?
Yeah. Well, if he stops throwing interceptions, then maybe we might talk about him as one of the greatest right now. He's just giving them away to the wrong team right now. I can't put him up there as the greatest walk-on. Not yet.
You get a pick.
Thanks for watching College Football Live.